Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Keehan. Today we'll discuss the article by Habert Zettel et al. Titled, Insulin Sensitizers Prevent the Fine Particulate Matter-Induced Vascular Insulin Resistance and Changes in Endothelial Progenitor Cell Homeostasis. This article published online March 25, 2016, as part of our call for papers on cardiovascular responses to environmental stress. Joining me today are guest editor Lauren Wold, lead author Petra Habertzettel, and content expert Tim Nurkowitz. Let's get started.
Thanks, Kara. So in this paper by Petra and colleagues, the investigators looked at exposure to fine particulate matter and its ability to alter sensitivity of blood vessels. And they looked at that in a mouse model of exposure for 9 days and looked at different inflammatory markers and the inflammasome pathway, but also looked at circulating levels of endothelial progenitor cells, or EPCs. In this study, it was very exciting where they found that PM exposure induced diet-independent vascular insulin resistance and inflammation and prevented the mobilization of EPCs. With that, I'm excited to have the first author with us, as well as Dr. Nurkowitz, one of our content experts. So Petra, tell us about the reason that you conducted this study, and maybe if you can reiterate some of the major findings.
This is a really good question, Lauren. We found early insulin resistance in our studies, and we couldn't explain how. And this was accompanied by early changes in EPCs. And now we wanted to figure out whether insulin resistance could be maybe a part of the mobilization defect of EPCs from the bone marrow. And that's why we thought then we maybe can get rid of the induced insulin resistance by insulin sensitizers, which have been shown to improve EPCs as well as insulin signaling in high-fat diet-induced effects. Then we could maybe gain the mechanism how EPCs and insulin resistance are induced by particulate matter.
Great, thanks. So Tim, tell us if there were any of the findings in this study that might have surprised you.
So I would say there were several surprises that I found in it. First of all, it was really putting a nail in the coffin on the endothelial progenitor cells, because from my perspective as a microvascular physiologist, I think of the marrow and the mobilization of these cells as there's a mechanism not only to get the stimulus into the marrow to mobilize the progenitor cells, but then also to get them out. So being able to identify that one of those two pathways is being influenced was significant to me. And then on top of that, it might just be the longevity of the progenitor cells within circulation that may be having an influence ultimately on the vascular wall. So that would be the second component of linking the progenitor cell influence on the vascular wall in terms of inflammation.
Great, I agree. And what about any limitations?
Probably one of the biggest limitations to me as a vascular reactivity scientist is I would have wanted to see some link between those inflammatory markers that were identified, I thought very elegantly, with an actual reactivity outcome. That's something that has been identified throughout the literature and also through Petra's group as well, is that there are impairments in reactivity after PM exposure. So it would seem very likely that they'd be able to link these markers with some subsequent consequence in terms of cardiovascular function.
So Petra, I'm also curious, in light of Tim's comments, about the duration of the study and if you've potentially also looked at longer periods of exposure.
Yes, we did indeed, and it's also in the manuscript. We looked for 30 days, for exposures for 30 days, and they decreased EPC levels in a similar way. And we also tried to look for the combination of high-fat diet and concentrated particulate matter exposure, and there was no difference between those. So it seems to reach a saturation point on one point. So when you give more and more carbs and you extend the duration, then you saturate the EPC depletion in the circulation. We have published this also previously by showing the dose-dependent response of EPC depletion to carb exposure. Comment to the mobilization of the EPCs. Our previous manuscript, which published in 2012, showed that EPC mobilization from the bone marrow is actually affected by PM exposure. And we measured in this work also cell survival in the blood, and we found no apoptosis indication in these cells. So it looks like really that the mobilization of EPCs is blocked from the bone marrow by reducing or impairing signaling functions which are inducing this mobilization. In this specific case, we found that VEGF-induced mobilization was defected. And to the reactivity question, we measured endothelial function in the aortas of these exposed mice, and we didn't find any frank endothelial dysfunction. However, there was a hypo or hypercontractile phenotype when we exposed for 9 or 30 days.
Great, very interesting. So what's the next steps?
I hope that on one point we can really disentangle what happens first, whether vascular insulin resistance is inducing or decreasing EPC mobilization, whether inflammation comes first, or whether inflammation induces insulin resistance, or whether insulin resistance induces vascular inflammation. So these are the future points we want to look at.
Those are great future steps. So Tim, maybe you can give us a 360-foot view of your overall thoughts on the implication of the study.
The field of particulate matter exposure and subsequent cardiovascular outcomes has evolved to a certain point where one of the general accepted mechanisms of action is that an inhaled pollutant begets pulmonary inflammation that then broadcasts somehow to the periphery. And the longstanding belief is it's some kind of cytokine interleukin-mediated process. So to be able to identify a progenitor cell in this process expands our understanding and takes it then to the next level of those progenitor cells interacting with the endothelial cells throughout the cardiovascular system. And that was identified in the introduction and the discussion of the manuscript, I thought, very nicely of where we go from here. So we're going to look at cell-cell interactions. And that would be really important to distinguish between specific levels of the vasculature as we go forward, because an endothelial cell in the macrocirculation is not an endothelial cell in the microcirculation or even on arterial versus venous sides. So that is where I would like to see things going in the next year or two.
So Tim, do you have any other questions for Petra that have possibly come up?
Yes, absolutely, Lauren. One of the functional components that we're getting at here is AKT signaling within the endothelial cell. And the authors used insulin as the initiation or the focal point to get to AKT. And a lot of times it isn't recognized that AKT is a calcium-independent mechanism of activating nitric oxide synthase. In this model, they're showing that this decreased insulin sensitivity is operating through the AKT mechanism. And I would wonder from, you know, if Petra could comment to, does she think that this is contributing to other groups that have identified NOS uncoupling or the oxidative stress within the endothelial cell that ultimately influences the vascular wall? Or could this be the origin of the problem, or is this the consequence of the problem?
That's a good question. The problem is the answering the question whether it's a consequent or a result, as this is a question for the chicken and the egg right now. To answer the question about the ENOS uncoupling, so we not only measured AKT phosphorylation after insulin stimulus, we measured also ENOS phosphorylation, and we found that ENOS phosphorylation is also going down with PM2.5 exposure. And furthermore, we could show that NOX levels are decreased in the plasma after exposures. So the whole endothelial ENOS pathway gets kind of impaired by PM2.5, indicating that the endothelium itself, not the whole vasculature, is the more sensitive target.
If you have that uncoupling, whether it's the chicken or the egg in the endothelium, that then has downstream effects on subsequent vasoreactive factors. And reactivity and vascular tone, in many of our conversations over the years, I refer to that as a bucket of water with a bunch of holes in it. You can plug up one of those holes, but then water just runs out faster through those other holes, representing the other pathways of vascular tone or reactivity. So what do you think the compensation would be in response to this NOS outcome after the influence of your PM2.5 activity?
So when a mouse is fed with high-fat diet, actually the AKT ENOS pathway is downregulated while the ERK pathway is still upregulated, which would then induce an imbalance between ET1 production and NO production. And ET1 as a vasoconstrictor would be more profound in its capability because NO is going down. So this could be then leading to endothelial dysfunction in the end.
Thanks, Petra. So maybe you can give us a take-home message that'll get the readers to download your paper.
The take-home message of this paper is that particulate matter seem to affect early on the vasculature and endothelial progenitor cells, as well as vascular sensitivity to a variety of triggers, which then could induce the effects in the broader spectrum, like on cardiovascular disease and the development of type 2 diabetes.
Great. Thank you very much, Tim and Petra.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circ podcast. For more podcasts, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.